people here this morning. And Ramona, I think you came the greatest distance this morning, possibly through the woods, back around. Glad that you're here today as well. Opportunity just to fellowship with folks. Well, it's good to see you this morning, and glad that you're here. We're in week two of Vantage Point. And you remember the premise of Vantage Point really comes from a movie several years ago that took one big story and looked at it from different angles. There were eight unique people, eight unique perspectives, one big story. And for us, as we study Vantage Point, we are looking at one big story, that the coming of the Christ child, the incarnation, and we're looking at it from four different characters, from four different perspectives. We looked at Zechariah last week. We are going to look from Mary's perspective this week as we look at the one big story of the coming of Christ. So why don't we have a word of prayer, and we'll study for a few moments. Father, thank you. Always with a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving, we thank you for the life that we know in you. Lord, all the other stuff that's out there, we are certainly grateful for the privilege and the opportunities that we enjoy in our community and with our family. But Lord, our greatest point of thanksgiving comes from being grateful for being in you, for knowing you, for having life in you, and to being promised of life everlasting and eternal. Lord, we thank you for the peace that you give us, and even today we talk a lot about peace, the peace of Christ in us. And so I pray that you would help us to be focused in these moments together as we read through your word and we look at Mary, the one that you chose specifically for a very unique purpose. And help us to see the story from her unique vantage point. And maybe today, Lord, we could walk away from here with a sense of awe, a sense of confidence, but most importantly, a sense of peace. Jesus, we love you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. You know, how we view something and what we actually see are really related and are probably of equal importance. And let me state that again. How we view something is as important as what we view. And so if we have that in our mind, that how we view something, I'm going to get on the platform here in just a second, but how we view something is equally important as what we view. I think as we look at Mary and her perspective and her vantage point, it's really important for us to see how she viewed the coming of this child as significant as the coming itself. And so what I want us to do is I want us to read through the story. It's over in Luke chapter 1, and we're going to look at beginning in verse 26, and I want us to kind of read through really three different settings, but to get an idea of the how as she looked at the what. In verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greeting, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be? I am a virgin.' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age. I guess he didn't use that term advanced in years like we learned last week, right? And has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month of her whom was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Next scene. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to the town of Judah. And she entered in the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." This is an important verse. "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Next part. Mary's song of praise. And this is what Mary says: "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. And he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months before she returned home. Three pictures of Mary: the announcement by the angel, the visit with Elizabeth, and her song of praise and testimony to the greatness of God. How did Mary view this what of the coming of the child? When I think about how Mary viewed it, the how, I think of two words. One is the word awe, and the other is the word confidence. When I think about the word awe, I think about the word awe like, this is incredible! Not amazing, like, I can't believe this is true. She approaches the story. She approaches the what? In awe. And now, how do we think of her as approaching it in awe, as how she sees it? I think she sees it in awe because of simply the announcement that she received. Just the words, the appearance of Gabriel, the conversation that he has with her, and the story that she's being told, the prophecy of what will take place in her. God's word of truth in her life. You have to admit that an angel before you in this word of proclamation about you has to be awe-inspiring. It has to be an incredible moment. It has to capture you in some very unique way, that this is an incredible moment when he simply speaks greeting to you, that the Lord is with you, that you have been favored. But I also think about this awe as a little bit about kind of who she is. Not just is there awe because of the announcement, but I think there is an awe because of the humility that exists within her. You remember we just read that song of praise that she sings out to God, and in that song of praise, she talks about the humble estate servant. To stop and think that perhaps in her mind was running these words, God is going to use me. That's incredible. That me, just a simple person from a simple background with not much of anything, at least one of the ordinary, and yet he's going to use me. I think when we see ourselves sometimes in relationship with God, we are awed by the fact that he actually uses us. And that bears to mind another piece of the awe. And that's the awe that Mary is actually called by God. God chose her. This one of humble estate, this one of lowly stature in the community and the socioeconomic ladder of life, that God called her, that God chose her specifically. And she becomes amazed, literally, in an awe of what God is doing in her, that God has chosen her. God's going to use her. And that, she's heard this proclamation. You know, in verse 30, when God says, when the angel says about Mary, to Mary, about what God has seen in her, it says, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Do you know the word found means to discover? And the word favor is the same word as grace. The idea is that, Mary, you have discovered grace in him. You have discovered grace in God. God's good will for you that he has chosen you. But I also think the other part that goes into this whole idea of awe has to be the miracles. You remember she goes immediately and she goes and checks on Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. This was the barren relative that wasn't going to have children, and talk about a miracle that here was this relative who is advanced in years and expecting a child. Just as the angel said it would be, she found Elizabeth. Let alone the entire miracle, the entire work, the entire provision of Christ, the fact that Mary, as a virgin, would have a child. Miraculous. See, I think that when Mary views this what, the story of the coming of the Christ, she views it with awe. But I also think that she views it with a confidence. And I'm not talking about a haughty confidence. I'm not talking about a prideful confidence. I'm not talking about some sort of attitude. But I'm talking about literally a walk of confidence in what God is doing in her life and the fact that God's called her. But I think about the confidence she has. One of the things I find interesting about the portrayal of Mary, and especially during Christmas, is that oftentimes we want to take this poor, dejected, kind of ostracized young girl who is pregnant, not married, and perhaps living in shame. I have to tell you, I've taught the story from that angle, but I think there's a whole lot more to the story than that. I think the story is much bigger than that, because I think that she walked around with a confidence of God's call and God's purpose in her life, and the miracles that were happening around her, and simply the awe of the announcement, that she walked around with a confidence. She was not this poor, dejected little girl that was set across the side and simply put ostracized from the group. But I think she's a person that walked with confidence. And why do I say that? Because of her faith. Do you remember when she goes to visit Elizabeth? Elizabeth's 6 months pregnant. And do you remember what Elizabeth says to her? How blessed are you because you've believed, because you've been a person of faith. that what God has said to you will happen and take place. See, I can only imagine that as she walks in to visit with Elizabeth, that she bounces in with this confidence. That's why she says, boy, when my voice heard the announcement that you were walking in the door, this baby in my womb leaped for joy. Mary didn't arrive dejected, rejected. Mary arrived with confidence. And she lived this confidence of faith because she knew the call of God upon her life, and she knew what God was doing in her, and so she possessed this confidence. She was a woman of faith, unlike Zechariah. Remember last week what happened to Zechariah? Because he doubted Gabriel, what happened? God shut him up for 9 months. If there was anybody that knew about faith and doubt, it was Elizabeth. And as she listened, as she talked to Mary, blessed are you because you believed. I think she had a confidence about her because of her faith. I think she had a confidence about her because of her innocence. And I think innocence is a huge word because sometimes we are quick to pronounce guilt on somebody before we know their story, before we know what's really happened. And yet, when I think of Mary, Mary knew exactly where she was. She knew she was still a virgin. She knew she was yet to be married. And she knew this child was of God. And she knew this child would be the Son of God. And so as she walked through her days, as she walked through her routine, she walked about with an innocence. And because she possessed an innocence, because she possessed truth, there was strength in the innocence, there was strength in the truth. There was nothing to hide. You know, I've read some some commentators that want to somehow dismiss Mary's attitude of confidence. And what they say is, well, you know what happened? That as soon as she got the announcement that she was pregnant, and she knew that she was pregnant, she ran off to Elizabeth's house. But did you read in the story how many months she was with Elizabeth? 3. I think God sent her to Elizabeth to not only verify that what he said is true, to see the fact of the miracle in Elizabeth's life, but I think Elizabeth probably needed some help around the house as she lived out the last 3 months of her pregnancy. But then she goes home. Isn't it funny? She runs out of house when she doesn't, she runs out of town when she doesn't show. But she comes back home when she starts to show she's pregnant. She knew the truth. And there was nothing to hide. But I also think maybe perhaps the biggest part of confidence is the surrender that she possessed, that she had. As she is sitting there listening to Gabriel speak to her and give her this announcement, she says these words at the close of the conversation. She says, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Do you realize that that is a That's not a conversation of, hey, don't let that happen to me. I don't want to get involved. Keep me out of this. Find some other girl down the road. It is, I'm your servant. May it happen to me according to what you've spoken. Do you recognize that that is true surrender? And I have this thought about surrender in life, that I think true confidence is a result of genuine surrender. That when I surrender to Him, I live in full confidence of His plan and His purpose for my life. You know, as I'm sharing the how of Mary, I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Brad, you could probably use some awe, some, this is incredible. Not, I can't believe this is true. And you could probably use some confidence. Some confidence in the story, some confidence in the future, some confidence in the hope. Maybe we all could use that. Maybe we all could use a little more awe and a little more confidence. And so what I would say this morning is, may you discover grace once again. Not I'm talking about getting re-saved or re-baptized or anything like that. But the story of Christ, the coming of the Christ child, is the story of discovering grace. We discover grace in the gospel, and may we once again stand in awe of the gospel, of the provision of Jesus Christ for us. I mean, it's worth getting excited about. I know it's still early in the morning and it's sleeting outside, but we can still get excited about that, can't we? And confidence. Maybe the reason you're lacking confidence right now is because there's an area of your life you've not surrendered to Him. Is there something that's not been surrendered? Is there something that perhaps you're holding on to? And when you look at the how of the story of the what, it is Mary that shares with us this confidence because of her faith, because of her innocence, but perhaps most of all because of her surrender. That's the how. But I'll tell you the what. When I see Mary looking at what is happening and taking place and the coming of this child, I think what she sees is peace. I think what she sees is peace in this future, peace for herself and for all. You remember the announcement from Gabriel? Where he says in verse 32 and 33 of chapter 1 there in Luke, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom, there will be no what? End. Do you realize how powerful that is to a girl that lives in an economically deprived community? It is to a young lady that lives in a scenario that is less than best. You know, when I think about Israel, in her day and time, they're not in captivity in Babylon, but they're captive at home. They are under the rule of the Roman government. They have to pay extensive taxes. Their rule is not their own. They're merely just people that exist. Kings have come and kings have gone. Hope has come and hope has gone. But when the angel speaks these words to Mary, and of his kingdom, there will be no end. What it says to her is that there is peace around the corner. Not only was there hope that Zechariah had last week, but there is peace for a future, peace for a nation, peace for people. In fact, I think to a certain degree, Isaiah 9 comes alive for her, where it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of His government and of peace, there will be no end. No end. And on the throne of David and over His kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. We'll do this. What Mary saw in the coming of the Christ is peace. A future. And for us, as we think about peace, I think we think about relationship, about reconciliation, about a future. A relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship, an abiding, a walking with, alongside of, but this relationship with Christ. And when I think about reconciliation, it's not that somehow God admits His mistakes, we admit ours, and we meet in the middle. It is that we are reconciled unto God. He is perfect. He has never made a mistake. He lives in righteousness. And so we are reconciled unto Him. We are at peace in Him. Because we have hope, because we have a future. How did Mary view the peace? She viewed it with awe. She viewed it with confidence. May we also view peace, this provision of Christ, with awe and with confidence. Would you pray with me? Father, we recognize that You loved us enough that You sent Your Son for us. And that through Him we have life and enjoy life in Christ. Thank You for the salvation that we know. Thank You for the righteousness that we live in, the grace that sustains us moment by moment, day by day. And Father, I pray that You would help us to see. To see through the lens of Mary this awe and this confidence about the peace that is in Christ. Lord, we love You. Thank You for loving us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, as we come to conclusion, an opportunity for you just to respond to what God is doing in your life. Maybe you're